faith, promises, and missions. As I've said to you already, there's some changes that we are going to be making, and I've mentioned to you that we are going to be bringing Brother Humphrey on staff, already an ordained pastor in the church, and we'll be doing that. It looks like we'll be moving that direction sometime mid to late September and finalizing all of that. There's just some things that need to be taken care of before then. But in relation to that as well, I've mentioned to you as well that we're going to be instituting or beginning faith promise missions giving. And I've been teaching and preaching on this subject of giving for the last several weeks. And I want to, again today, thank you, brother. I want to do this again today and speak on the subject of faith, promise, and missions. Promises and missions. I don't know if you have ever thought about this or not, but in the spiritual realm, everything relates to everything. Have you ever noticed that? There aren't things that are, I know I need one of those. Would one of you come fan me while I preach? Wouldn't that be awkward? Awkward. Amuse me. Everything relates to everything in the spiritual realm. There are connections. There are interrelations on so many levels across the landscape of divine truth. And God has a way of doing this. We can't always understand it, but God has a way of bringing different things together into one and then masterfully weaving it all into something that is for His glory and for His honor. A church is often like that. All these different body parts that are so different one from another, and yet God has a way to bring it all together and weave it into something that is beautiful in His sight. The thing about that, even though there are interrelations and connections across the landscape of divine truth, the heart of everything in the Christian life and in the spiritual realm is faith. Faith is the heart of it all, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And so the whole plan of God as it relates to humankind is saturated with the need for faith. Everything that has anything to do with man's relationship to God must have faith at its heart and faith at its focus. Anything of a spiritual endeavor for it to be successful, if you will, must have faith as its foundation and its premise. That is God's plan for mankind. And again, I want to speak on the subject of faith, promises, and missions, because all the things that we endeavor to do for the Lord, even the way that the Lord is directing and leading, faith has to be at the core of it all. We have to trust in God. And there are, when it comes to this issue of faith, promise, giving for missions, there are several biblical principles in God's Word that would add up to what we call faith, promise, missions, giving. And again, it's a method. It's a method of being able to collect funds for missions. It's a way to incorporate everybody into this great need. And I'll explain more about it even next week. But I want to talk about these principles that we find in God's Word that would add up to what we would call faith, promise, missions, giving. The first principle, let's pray first and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, embrace truth from your Word. And Father, you'd help us as your people to always live by faith. And Lord, that is your plan for humankind, and is to trust you and, Father, to obey you. And Lord, to see you and your power magnified and your hand working on our behalf to bring glory to God. And so Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us with these truths this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. The first principle that we'll look at here is that first of all, is that God desires that we live by faith. God desires that we live by faith. We said Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. What is faith? In its simplest form and simplest definition, what is faith? Faith is simply believing God's word and doing it. That's what faith is. The doing is a demonstration of the fact that we believe God's word. And so it's simply believing God's word and doing it. And living by faith is God's ideal plan for the Christian, for Christian life. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 16. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is God's ideal plan for Christian living. Living by faith. Everything begins and then revolves around and then ends with faith in the Christian life. What is the opposite of faith? Unbelief? Is that a good definition of what the opposite of faith is? Unbelief? Faith is something that God intends for the saints of God because faith draws us closer to God. It's something that draws us to the Lord, while unbelief, the opposite of faith, is something that actually takes us away from God. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 with me. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That heart of unbelief, which is the opposite of faith, is something that takes us away from God, while faith, trusting in God, is something that draws us to Him. A lack of faith or unbelief is something that tries God's patience. Note what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17. Go over there with me. In Matthew 17, and verse 17, note Jesus' words here. Matthew 17, verse 17, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." So Jesus says, you're a faithless generation. How long am I going to be with you? How long should I suffer you? It's something that a lack of faith or unbelief is something tries God's patience. It causes us to depart from God, and ultimately unbelief leads to a fall. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews is using the nation of Israel as an example. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." It was unbelief on the part of the nation of Israel that caused them to experience what they did. Unbelief is something that takes us away from God. It's unbelief that tries God's patience. And God's design and God's plan and His desire is that as saints of God, we live by faith in everything from beginning to end in the Christian life. Faith, believing God's word and doing it. Faith is what God honors. Faith is what God blesses. Look with me in the Psalms. What are some of the blessings of God because of faith or living by faith, trusting the Lord? In Psalm 32, in verse 10, Psalm 32 in verse 10 says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." One of the blessings of living by faith is that we, as God's people, would be surrounded by God's mercy. It's sorrows that are to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 22. Bible says here, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know what? There's divine provision for God's people when we live by faith. God will provide, as he promised that he would. There's peace that is given to saints of God who would live by faith, because Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because what? He trusteth in thee. Amen? Look in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37, 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know what? There's stability that's given in the life of someone who lives by faith and trusts in the Lord. This verse here says, you trust in the Lord and you do good and you're going to dwell in the land. Stability. There's also, look at verse 5, some success. In verse 5 of this same psalm, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's security that is promised for those who trust in the Lord. Isaiah 50 in verse 10 says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There's a lot of blessing to living by faith. And faith is something that God honors. Faith is something that God responds to on the part of his children. And it's his ideal plan for his children to live by faith. God desires we live by faith. So what's the application? Well, this principle that emerges out of our text, which was 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. The principle that emerges in our text is that the work of missions will be done successfully when it's done by faith. Amen? Would you all agree that that's what the principle is being drawn out? Paul says, when your faith is increased, we'll be enlarged and we'll be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. The work of missions will be done successfully when it's done by faith. From the going, to the sending, to the giving, all of it done in faith. And there's a direct connection that's stated between the church's faith related to giving and the gospel being able to go to the regions beyond. There are three principles regarding giving I want to draw out. If you go back to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 8, so we're looking in chapter 10 there, but just go back to chapter 8. We've talked much about this in the previous weeks. But three principles here regarding giving in faith that are notable. First of all, remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust in God. Note what Paul said regarding the churches of Macedonia in verse 2 of chapter 8. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were generous in their giving, for to their power or ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And the thought and the principle is that remarkable giving, which could be demonstrated here by the churches of Macedonia, remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust in the Lord. What was it that enabled them or allowed them to be able to give generously and abundantly, even in their poverty? The fact that they were surrendered and they trusted in the Lord. They gave of themselves first and to the apostles. Look over in chapter 9 and verse 13. whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. They were able to give, the Bible says, to their ability, verse 3 of chapter 8, for to their power or ability, they were able to give. That means that which is easy to give. Giving to their power, that which is easy to give. And then he says, and beyond their power, that which is not easy to give, but is sacrificial, either way, it demonstrates a surrender to and a trust in God. Remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust in the Lord that he's going to provide. The second principle is that blessed giving, the kind that God likes, the kind that God honors, blessed giving is based on generosity and cheerfulness. In chapter 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Blessed giving, and the kind that God honors, the kind that God blesses, is based on generosity and cheerfulness. And the third principle, and here is really the key, consistent giving will always have faith at its core. Consistent giving will have faith at its core because it demonstrates that we really believe God's promises. I can consistently and continually give, even when it's sacrificial, because I really believe God's promise. Look over in chapter 9 and verse 8. Look, these New Testament saints really believed this. In verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Listen, the New Testament saints really believed this, that God was able to make all grace abound, and that they would have, what, in verse 8, having all sufficiency in all things. I can continually and consistently give because I really believe God's promises. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 38, I'll read it to you here quickly. Luke 6 and verse 38. The Bible says here, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Jesus makes the promise there. He makes a very clear statement. You give, and it shall be given unto you. God says in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 regarding the tithes, bring the tithes into the storehouse. But God says, prove me, test me now herewith, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And yet sometimes God's people get so stingy. But it's usually based upon, well, if I give here, whatever, I'm not going to have enough to do this, and I'm not going to have enough to do that. And they weigh it all out in their mind, in their heart, and they settle, okay, well, I guess I can give this much. Instead of actually living by faith. Lord, there is this, that I want to do for you. Lord, I believe your promises and what you've said. That I'm going to give out of a cheerful heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. I want to give this to you, Lord, that your work would be magnified and glorified. And Lord, I'm going to trust you that you'll always provide, that you have grace to provide, and that I'll be sufficient in all things. I think that was really the core of these saints of Macedonia back in our text, that they were able to give abundantly and generously, even in their poverty, because they really believed the promise of God. That is living by faith. Consistent giving has faith at its core. So let me ask a question. If I were to ask the question, so I won't ask it, but I'll actually ask it. How many consistently give to missions? And when I say consistently, I mean at least monthly, giving to the work of the Lord, giving to missions. Consistent giving has faith at its core, that I believe God. I believe He'll provide. I can trust Him. And this is His design plan and His design method. And I believe Him and I trust Him. And so I'm going to obey Him. What is faith? Simply believing God's word and doing it. Remarkable giving demonstrates full surrender and trust to the Lord. Blessed giving, the kind that God loves, is based on generosity and cheerfulness. And consistent giving has faith at its core because it demonstrates that we really believe God's promises. Faith is a key element in all of Christian living, and it should be considered an essential part of giving to missions as well, by faith. So what is faith promise in reference to a missions program? Well, it's simply this. It's the faithful, already tithing saint of God simply trusting the Lord to provide so he or she can give an offering to missions. That's really what it is at its core. And it's based in faith. So the first principle, God desires that we live by faith. But the second is, God's word describes a promise by faith. Go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. God's word describes a promise by faith. You know the story of Hannah, who could not have children. You know the story of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's just look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. What an amazing story, huh? You think about that, just an amazing story. But the Bible says here that Hannah vowed a vow, and she said, she's praying to the Lord, she basically said, Lord, if you provide what I desire, I'm going to give him back to you. It was a promise that she made, but by faith, trusting in the Lord that he was the one who would have to provide it. She couldn't do it. But notice her faith, that it's how it's demonstrated here, because verse 18 says that she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. What does that demonstrate? What does that imply? She believed that God was going to do it. God's word describes a promise by faith. And when it comes to evangelism, listen, we will often make a faith promise to God. When it comes to evangelism itself, we might say something like, Father, there is this that we desire to do for you, but we can't. You must work in and through us, for we are incapable. We're going to plan to do this, believing that you will do all that we can't. Listen, we've been praying that very prayer when it comes to ministry for natives in Alaska, haven't we? Lord, this is something that you've commanded us to do. We know that we can't do it in and of our flesh. We need you to work in and through us to open up the way and enable us to be able to do this. We're going to plan to do it, believing that you'll provide. Faith promise is simply this, Lord, what would you have me to give to missions this year? I want to do my part in fulfilling your great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I can't go into all the world and preach to every creature, but I can do this. Would you lay a number on my heart to give? And I will, by faith, commit to you and trust you to supply so that I can give it back to you. When your faith is increased, will be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. That's simply what faith promises. Lord, this is something that we desire to do for you because you said to do this. But we're going to trust you to provide it so that we can give it back to you for your work to increase. God's word describes a promise by faith. And we see a great example in Hannah there. But listen, God, first of all, is honored by our surrender and our willing heart. We see that of the churches of Macedonia back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, in verse 12, note the surrendered and the willing heart here. Paul says to them, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Even the issue of giving isn't even really about how much we give. The issue is whether it is really about the heart. And Paul writes to these people when they're talking about this offering that they were taking for poor saints in Jerusalem. He says, if there's a willing heart, it's accepted of the Lord, not according to a man what he doesn't have, but what he does. And listen, it's really not about how much we give. It's really a matter of the heart in the giving. And God is honored by the surrender or the willing heart. But God is also honored by our faith. And God always responds to faith. And he will provide. Verse 8 of chapter 9 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God always responds to faith. He always has responded to faith. It's something that honors God. And the faith promise is simply, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to give? Lord, lay this number on my heart. And this is something that I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to trust you to provide it so I can give it back to you. And you know what? That's something between you and the Lord. It's not a pledge that we make. No one's going to come knocking on your door, you know, to make sure that you give. No one but you and God will even know. But God wants, number one, for us to live by faith, to trust Him. And then to be able to increase our faith as we see God supply and as we see God work on our behalf. Listen, that's something that challenges us on to the core and grows our faith in Him, that God really is able to make all grace abound. Hannah made a promise to the Lord that if he would give the desire of her heart, she would give it back to him. And she really believed God would do it. And the Bible says later on in verse 19 that God remembered Hannah. And he provided. The third principle and the last principle, not only does God want us to live by faith, not only does he desire that we live by faith, but God's word also describes a faith promise. But thirdly, God demands that we obey by faith. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17 with me. Here's another example. God demands that we obey by faith. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 1, a familiar story probably to most of you. Another amazing story. Let's begin in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kirith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kirith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So obviously there's a drought, because there isn't any rain, which can turn into famine real easily. And so that's what's happening here. The brook dried up, because there was no rain. But note this, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth," she's like, I'm being honest here, "I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Things are pretty bleak because of the famine. Verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said," meaning go and make the food for you and your son. But then note what he says. "But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of which he spake by Elijah." This is also an amazing story here, because the Bible says that God said, "I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." All right, and so the whole picture here. There's a great famine in the land. The brook dries up. There's not a lot to eat or drink. This woman, she's a widow. She doesn't really have anybody to provide for her. Here she has just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and she's gathering two sticks that she's going to make this food so that her and her son can eat one last time, and then they got nothing left. And they're going to die. And yet, God commanded her to sustain the prophet. Are you with me? God gave her a command to this woman that she could not possibly obey except by faith. You see this? What a spot she's put in. God commands us to obey by faith. He commanded the impossible of her in verse 9. You sustain the prophet. He demanded faith on her part. Verses 12 and 13 really show this because she says, I'm going to make this for me and my son, and then we're going to die in verse 12. And then Elijah says, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go make the food for you. But here's what I want you to do first. Before you make some food for yourself, I want you to make some food for me. Could you imagine? The audacity of that guy. Right? All I have is just this little bit. I don't even know if I can pay my bills this month. And God expects me to give? The audacity of the guy. But that's not the attitude of this woman. That's not the attitude of her at all. Even though God was demanding faith of her, that's not her attitude. She obeyed by faith because look what these words say. In verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, here's the promise, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying. Do you think she believed the word of the Lord here? Absolutely she did. God made a promise. She really believed it. She acted on it. Which was proof that she obeyed by faith. What a challenge. Man, I'm telling you, what a challenge. We're not in a situation where we need to get two sticks and cook this handful of meal and then eat it and die. Man, we are blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And yet God still says, you need to live by faith. You need to obey by faith. And what was the result of this woman's obedience by faith? Well, verses 15 and 16, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. God replenished day by day this widow's meager supply. But man, there's some interesting words in this, because verse 16 says, the barrel of meal wasted not. You know what that word wasted means? It means to end. Or be consumed. That little handful of meal in that barrel, it wasn't consumed. It didn't end. It wasted not. The word fail, in that cruse of oil that she had, the word fail means to lessen or decrease. The oil in that cruse didn't even lessen from what was in there or decrease. Can you imagine? She's pouring it out. Boop. Oh, that's it. And then she puts it back down like this, and all of a sudden, whoosh, there's just as much that was there. And she pours it out again the next day, and whoosh, there's still just as much that was there. It didn't lessen or decrease. Every time she used it, they ate many days. Every time she scooped down in that barrel to pick up that handful of meal to make some food, it didn't decrease. It wasn't consumed. It didn't end. And the simple point is that God replenished this meager supply that this widow had. Simply, he provided all that she needs simply because she obeyed by faith. Can we trust God? He's an all-powerful, all-knowing God whose promises never fail. What a great illustration of the principle that when we trust the Lord and we obey by faith, God will provide beyond what we can imagine. Yeah. Amen. God desires that we live by faith. God's word describes a faith promise, and then God demands that we obey by faith. That is the basis of all of this. In the entire Christian life, everything we do revolves around faith. From the going, the sending, the giving, it needs to be by faith. And Paul said, when your faith is increased, that means there's room for growth, right? When your faith is increased, we'll be enlarged by you, and we'll be able to preach the gospel to the regions beyond you. There's a direct connection between the faith of the church at Corinth in their giving and the gospel moving forward. Next week, I'm going to hand out faith promise cards. And I'll explain what they're for and how it works. And then we'll have a couple of weeks to pray and to seek the Lord individually as to what the Lord would have you to do for missions. And by the way, according to God, it's not optional for the saints of God, for His children. God says He demands the tithes and the offerings. When it came to giving for the poor saints in Jerusalem and collecting of the gift, Paul said to the church at Corinth, let every man lay by him in store. We all have this responsibility as members of this New Testament church. We have covenanted to together to give and to provide for the ministry and for missions. This is a promise that we've made to each other. So, faith promise is a way to incorporate everyone in the task, but it's between you and the Lord. I wouldn't presume to force or to make anyone do anything. It's between you and the Lord. And so, we're going to have a couple of weeks to pray and seek the Lord individually as to what the Lord would have you to do. And then after a couple of weeks, we'll collect those cards and we'll see what we've collectively committed to the Lord by faith. Paul said to the church at Corinth, when your faith is increased, I shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Why are we doing this? Well, the reason that we would do this is missions. Missions is the mandate. The reason we do this is to enable God's plan for worldwide evangelism to go forward. What might the Lord challenge us with and increase our faith so that we could do more for Him in the way of missions, in supporting and sending? Amen? Amen. That the gospel would go forward in the regions beyond us. And I would remind you of this in case you didn't know this. Every cent that we receive for missions goes to missions. Every last dime goes to mission work. And so when you give by faith, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that money that's designed for missions doesn't get used for anything else. It doesn't go to salaries. It doesn't go to paying bills. It goes for the work of missions so that the gospel can go to the regions beyond. So we need to live by faith. Amen? God desires it. He demands that we obey by faith. And so we'll talk more about this next week. And like I said, we'll hand out some faith promise cards. I'll explain what they are, what they're for, how it works, all of that. And then we'll trust the Lord to provide. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can trust You. Lord, that Your promises never fail. There's never failed even one of all the promises You've given. Lord, You're God who cannot change and You don't ever lie. And so, Lord, if You've made a promise to Your people, Lord, we can believe it. We can trust in You. And Lord, You honor faith. You bless faith. And when our faith grows, You are glorified in it. So, Lord, I pray that You'd give us Your grace and help us, enable us to live by faith. And Lord, that we would be able to see the power of God and the provision of God at work, that our faith would be increased. And Lord, that the gospel would move forward so that precious souls who've never heard, Lord, can have light given to them, imparted to them, truth imparted to them, that they may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may never know the effect, the full effect of our giving and the impact on eternal souls it would have. We may never know that in this life. But we do know, Lord, that you'll honor it and you'll bless it when we live by faith. Thank you for the day we've had today. Thank you for this church, faithful people. So thankful to the Lord to be able to serve with them. Lord, I pray that you grow us and strengthen us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.